Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.
Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, "thou wicked and slothful servant." A sad indictment indeed. Rightly dividing the word of truth includes separating the gift from the prize and eternal life from the kingdom of God. In each case, one is attained by pure faith without works, and the other by faith plus works, as James emphasizes in his epistle. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ, will be upon your death, and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also." Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him, and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part 3.
The tabernacle that God had the Israelites construct and the temple, first in the wilderness, it was a tabernacle, a tent. King Solomon built a permanent building, stone building, with gold and cedar wood, and built the temple. Those things were a pattern of things in heaven. The temple is a pattern of the things in heaven. So the Holy of Holies, there are three areas I talked about. The Holy of Holies, the holy place, and the courtyard, and where the altar was. So the Holy of Holies is the third heaven. The holy place, where the table of showbread and the lampstand is the universe, that heaven, and then the third heaven would be where the courtyard was and the altar where the earth is. The earth is the altar, and we'll see that here in a little bit. That pattern is the pattern of the real heavens. So what it's saying here, let's go back. "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands," the temple that was in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, "which are the figures of the true." It's their figures. When I use the term figuratively, that's the same thing here as what it says, figures of the true. The temple is a figure of the true Holy of Holies. "But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." He went to the Holy of Holies, to the real mercy seat, the one not made by the hands of man, the one that's eternal in heaven. And he is a high priest, sprinkles the lamb, the blood of the lamb, his blood upon that mercy seat. Does that make sense? It's a little complicated, but I'm trying to bring it down to everybody's level to understand. I had to learn it myself. And trying to bring it down is complicated, but it's something we have to understand. Resurrection speaks of rising from the dead, not descending. We see here in Matthew chapter 12, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here, Jonah. Why does it say Jonas? It's the issue of transliteration. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay? Jonah translated from the Hebrew to English in the Old Testament was Jonah. Jonah translated the Hebrew name into the Greek, and then from the Greek back into the English, we get Jonas. That's why you have Jonas. It's the transliteration of the name. So, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south, which is the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Notice, rise up, rise up, rise up. Scripture over and 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 over again uses the word rise up. Okay? That is very critical as we continue on. Baptism is a picture, we dealt with this, of resurrection, rising from the grave, immersion, not immersion, but not immersed, being immersed in the water, but also that speaks of dying, but emerging from the grave, immersion, speaks of rising up. That's the picture of baptism. We dealt with that thoroughly. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, it talks about rising up. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In 1 Corinthians 15, 24, you can write these references and go back and look at them. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. In verse number 5 here, John chapter 5. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. The Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here, this is key now, the hour is coming. This is very important. The hour is coming. Put stars around this, brackets. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's not now. That's future. When Jesus comes back, we will hear his voice. The dead in Christ shall hear. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. That's future. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. That's when he descends into the cloud. He shouts with the voice of an archangel. And that's when the rapture takes place. Rapture. In the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, speaking of the first resurrection, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That goes back to my sermon dealing about works, evil works and good works. And condemnation for those who do evil works, yet they're saved, but they do evil works. We see in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that's where it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. In John chapter 10, we hear, my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know Christ's voice through his word, through the word of God, and we will also hear his voice when he returns. Physical death speaks of the separation of the soul from the body. Two distinct passages that deal with the separation. And it came to pass as her, Rachel, soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, or Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. At the birth of Benjamin, Rachel died. Rachel died in childbearing. And so the child was born. This is Jacob's last child, and Benjamin, who was younger than Joseph, and the mom died in childbearing, and it says her soul was departing, for she died. We see this again in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, okay, this the mistress of the house, this is the Zarephath widow who took care of Elijah during the three-year famine that was brought upon the land because of Ahab's wickedness. And the son here fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And he stretched himself, he being Elijah, upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. So, what determines death? It's not the little machine at the hospital that goes bleep, 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 and checking your heart rate. And when it goes flatlined or redlined, we think this person died. Or we say that there's no brain activity, they're brain dead, they died. That's how we look at death. But how God says there's death, how God looks at death, is when the soul separates from the physical body. When the soul separates from the physical body. All right. So where does the soul reside when the body is in the grave or tomb? Where does the body reside? Where does the soul reside? The body goes into the grave. The body goes back to dust because it was created from dust, the physical body. Are you sticking with me still? Where was Christ and the Old Testament saints after death? Jesus answers this question with his illustration about the rich man and Lazarus. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man went to hell, the bottomless pit. And he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Well, where is Abraham? It tells us Abraham is alive and at rest in paradise under the earth. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So Abraham is alive, and he's in the bosom of Abraham. We use the phrase the bosom of Abraham, not just speaking of Abraham's and comforted in his arms, but also a particular place under the earth. Look at number three here. The earth is the altar where the Lamb of God was slain, and also Jesus' lambs, or the martyrs of Christ, Jesus' sheep, are slaughtered. The earth is the altar. It's where Jesus was slain, and it's where many of the martyrs were, where all the martyrs of those who are Jesus' sheep have been slaughtered. The earth is the altar. And we saw this verse, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Turn your Bibles there. We were there before, but go back to Revelation chapter 6. We read verse 9. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They are at a rest. They are under the earth, under the altar. It says under the altar, not in heaven, but under the altar, which is the earth. The earth is in the outer courtyard. And it speaks of the earth. Verse 4 is a pattern of the true. Number 4 in your notes. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Acknowledgement that all things shall bow the knee at Christ under the earth. There it speaks again, under the altar, under the earth. Number 5. The following event takes place after the pre-tribulation rapture. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Turn your Bibles there. You should still have them open. But chapter 4 and chapter 5 take place after the church age. It's a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven to John. John is speaking here. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. That's the last trump. That's the trumpet of God. That's the voice of the archangel. That's Christ calling. That's speaking of the rapture coming up. The dead in Christ are called up. Those who are living are transformed. Talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and beheld the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. What heaven? What heaven? It's not the third heaven. It's the throne that he sets in the air. In the air when he comes down to the clouds. And then he calls up all those in Christ, comes up and raptures us out. That throne is not the throne that's next to the Heavenly Father, the one that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is his throne, he's sort of an itinerant throne. He's coming down. He sets up a pavilion. Now I'm going to read you a bunch of passages, and you write down these references and go back and look at them. But he sets up a pavilion or a tabernacle in the sky. And the Antichrist knows that all that Christ and his saints are up there during the tribulation period. And so everything here that's taking place in verse chapter 4 and chapter 5 is in the pavilion, the tabernacle in the clouds, where the judgment seat of Christ is taking place. Jesus is no longer sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now, these are my notes. You don't find them in your notes. Write down Psalm 18:11 in your notes. I'll read it to you. You look it up at a later date. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him was dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. His pavilion, speaking of the Lord, he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. That's Psalm 18:11. Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble, that's speaking of the tribulation period, he shall hide me in his pavilion, David is saying. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The day, the time of trouble is the day of trouble. It's the tribulation period. It's another reference. It's another name for the tribulation is the Jacob's trouble. The day of trouble used in Jeremiah. Day of trouble. Jacob's trouble, find those things in Jeremiah. But here in Psalm, it's called the time of trouble. He shall hide me. He's speaking to all of us and all those in the grave who know Christ. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalm 31:20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. What is that a direct reference to? Turn your Bibles to Revelation 13:6. Revelation 13. We have the revealing of the Antichrist, the beast that comes up out of the sea, and the beast that comes up out of the earth that are spoken of here in Revelation 13. And starting at verse 1, and I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now jump to verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy, here it is, against God, to blaspheme his name, here it is, and his tabernacle, pavilion. David uses the word pavilion, and them that dwell in heaven. The Antichrist, and possibly everybody on the earth, will know that Christ and his saints will be in this pavilion that will be hidden by the clouds.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.